Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Learning at Share. I'm once again, in case you just joined, asking everyone on the Zoom specifically to please mute themselves. I'm having some technical difficulties tonight. I can't do it. If there's going to be background noise, I don't want to have to do this, but I'm going to have to stop the Zoom. So could everyone please mute themselves for the benefits of all participants? Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Learning at Share. We are learning, as always, L'ilui Nishmas and L'zeichu Nishmas of Miriam Freund, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashalom, may her neshama have a continuous aliyah in the schus of the Torah learning that we will share this evening. So we're still on the same topic. I did not yet finish getting through all the material that I wanted to get through, and I think that it's relevant. Someone from Yerushalayim emailed me actually how she took a certain Kabbalah upon herself and changed her morning Seder with davening first before checking the news, etc. And that she said it seems like such an obvious thing to do once you start to do it. So, Be'ezras Hashem, hopefully, it's helping us move forward in our battle with a necessary tool that can become a corrupt and perverted and evil tool. So I'm going to continue. Last time we spoke about Hashem said to Moshe in Parshas Mishpatim, Perek Chaf Dalet of Shemos, Alei Elai HaHara V'heyei Sham. If you remember, you must be present. It's not just come up to the mountain and be there physically. Of course, if you go up the mountain, you're going to be there physically. It's come up to the mountain. This is the last thing we said last time. I'm just recapping. Of course, if you come up the mountain, you're going to physically be there. But the question is, are you emotionally and cognitively attached to the person that you are sitting with, or is your mind in a zillion other places? So now we're going to new information. Somebody actually sent me a response to the first shiur. I've been getting different feedback from different, whether it's in person or on Zoom or while you Torah listeners. Someone sent me a response to the first shiur. It was somebody else apparently was talking about this also, this topic. So there were a couple of pictures embedded in the email, and one picture was so impactful. It was a couple hugging. I don't know, I guess it depends what your parameters of tznius were. It wasn't like she was in tznius or he was in tznius, they were hugging. But they were hugging with their arms outstretched, you're already smiling, because they were each holding a phone while they were hugging, and really they were not looking at each other in a loving embrace. They were each looking just, if I stood up and hugged someone, you would understand what I mean, but I think from your smiles, you understand what I'm talking about. They were hugging, but his second arm was not around her, but outstretched. Her second arm was not around him, but outstretched. And in the outstretched arm, they were both holding a device. And instead of looking in the eyes of each other, which is what a couple should do when they're in a loving embrace, I didn't send it out because I want to send out pictures of people hugging each other, but it was really powerful. They were each looking just past the face of the beloved at the device that was stretched out in their hands. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah, everybody, if there starts to be background noise, okay, because my computer is on low volume, otherwise you're going to hear the pings when emails come in. So if there's background noise, I need you to post it in the chat so I'll know that you can hear, okay? Because we're not going to know because I don't want the background noise coming to our shir as well, okay? So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Sukkah 53a, Nun Gimel Aleph, the Gemara says, Tanya, Amru Alav al Hillel HaZaken. Hillel HaZaken was such a tremendous Torah personality. He laid upon the roof, Hillel Mechayiv Es Aniyim, to hear the Torah. He was covered in the snow. Hillel Av, teach me Torah while I stand on one foot. What's hateful to to others? What's hateful to yourself, don't do unto others. Amru alav al Hillel HaZaken, kishahaya sameach b'simchas beis ha-shoeva. They said about Hillel HaZaken that when he went to be b'simcha at a simchas beis ha-shoeva, Amar Kain, why would he say at the simcha beis ha-shoeva? Im ani kan hakol kan. If I'm here, everything is here. V'im eini kan, mi kan. And if I'm not here, who's here? So on surface value, this seems like a statement that a Baal Gaiva would make. If I'm here, everything and everyone is here. And if I'm not here, then who is here, as if nothing is here? So obviously it can't be that this is what Hillel HaZaken meant. And there's many ways to interpret this Ma'amar Chazal, this piece of Gemara. But I think it ties in terms of our understanding, the way we're learning Shir, it ties into our understanding. If my Ani is Kan, Hakol Kan, V'im Ein Ani Kan Mi Kan. And I want to tell you something funny. I'm just a regular person. I was eating supper tonight with my husband, and all the kids were in various places, so it was only the two of us at home. We're sitting at the island eating our fresh barbecue chicken, and he's having his vegetables, and I'm having my sweet potato, and we're eating supper, and I was thinking about the shir. And then I thought to myself, Im ani kan hakol kan, no, and I'm not joking, v'im eini kan mi kan. I thought, your knee has to be here. It's not, I promise, true story. I'm telling you this, I didn't say this to my husband. I hope no one's going to email him and tell him what his wife said while you're Torah. But I redirected my thoughts quickly. But I thought, wait, you have, and there was no devices there. It wasn't a matter of devices. My mind was just in the shir because it was 7:30 and I know I'm coming to shir and I have to go and it's almost 8:10. I thought, no. So what am I teaching? I'm teaching you something that I've shown. And we weren't on our devices. We were only eating our food. There was no devices there. But imani kan, hakol kan. It doesn't mean that Hillel said, I'm such a bal gaiva, like a Bilam harasha. You need to send more prominent people, like a paro who says, who is Hashem that I should listen to his voice? I don't know God. That's not what Hillel's talking about. And Hillel's not saying, if I'm here, then everything in the whole world is here. Hillel's saying, if my ani is here, then hakol kan. Alei elai hahara vehei sham ve'im eini kan mikan. And if your ani is not really here, then who is present? I mean, it's a struggle because in the environment and the society in which we live, we are pulled in a million different ways. And there's always so much going on. There's always so much on our mind. The reality is that even when you are or not on your device, it's sometimes very hard to be present in the moment. And it's something that we have to work on. So this Gemara reminded me of a Mishnah. So we're in the summer months, and we're learning Pirkei Avos every Shabbos afternoon. This week we're going to read Perek Vav, but it reminded me of a Mishnah from the beginning of Perek Gimel. So I'm quoting from Visions of the Fathers. I ordered it for myself this year around Pesach of time. It's Pirkei Avos of Rabbi Dr. Abram J. It's Pirkei Avos with commentary of Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky Zatzal. One second, is there background noise? Oh, yeah? So Esti says that she and Rabbi Kron say the same thing with regard to this phrase of Hillel HaZaken. Okay, very good. Baruch Shekivanti. So definitely it's an important pshat, and it's something that we all have to keep in mind. So I'm quoting from Visions. By the way, you know, if I would have heard it from Rabbi Kron, I would have quoted it, because I'm extremely, extremely, extremely makbid to always quote my sources. You know from learning with me. I don't say, if I heard it from somewhere, I'm going to tell you where I heard it from. So I wasn't trying to, like, you know, shtupen avard in my own name, chas v'shalom, and steal. Chalila, chalila. Visions of the Fathers. Okay. I think we're quiet so far, everyone. Are we quiet? Yeah, it looks okay. So I'm calling from Rabbi Dr. Ibn J. Twersky. So this Gemara, im ani kan hakol kan, v'in eini kan, eina kol kan, im eini kan, mikan. If I'm not here, then there's nothing here. So the Mishnah tells us in Perek Gimel of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Gimel, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. Akavya ben Mehalalel Omer. Akavya, the son of Mehalalel, says, Histakol b'shlosha dvarim, pay attention to three things, ve'ein atabal lidei avera. If you pay attention to three things, you will not come to sin. What are these three things that you must pay attention to? One, da me'ayin basa, you should know where you came from. Two, ula'ana taholeich, what's the end of all human beings? That's right, down. And before who you have to give an accounting. So you should know where you came from. A mortal has to know what they were created from. A human being has to know where he's going. No one's getting out of this planet alive. And finally, you have to know, before who ultimately you have to give an accounting. So now the Mishnah answers, Me'ayin basa, from where did you come from? Like you said, Metipa Sarucha, you came from a putrid drop. You came from two cells. You came from a sperm and an egg that were frozen. It's like nothing. It's two cells. It's obviously not nothing. It has tremendous capability with the help of the Ribbono Shel Olam to create a human being. But you have to realize, recognize where you came from. Ula ana taholeich. Where? What are you looking up? You want to tell me? It's about the Zoom? Oh, one second. Do we discover what the problem was? No. What?
No, continue.
Keep going. Okay. I'm so nervous there's going to be background noise. I'm trying to be calm. Ula, I am kan. Ula ana taholeich, and to where are you going? So the Mishnah says, l'makom afar, you're going to a place of dust. Rima visole, you're going to a place of worms and maggots. It's hard for us to contemplate that, but the reality is that that's where we are all going after 120. V'lifnei mi ata asid litein din v'chashbon, and before who will we have to give a din v'chashbon, an accounting and a calculation? L'fnei malach machay amach makosh baruch. You have to give an accounting before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty One, blessed be. It's hard for me to say, don't panic. We're not so far from Elul. It's the middle of Tammuz, Sunday Yeshiva Sarba Tammuz. It's about 6 weeks. to this time and we start thinking about these inyanim of teshuvah. It's therefore a very appropriate time. It's always appropriate to be working on this, to being present. It's appropriate time, especially as we approach Elul. But why am I dafka bringing up this Mishnah, even though it's a very nice Mishnah? It's a very important Mishnah. Why? Because I first heard this Vart told over, I believe, by Rabbi Saria Malitsky from New Jersey. Okay, I was listening to an online share. And he quotes a very, very geschmack Vart on this Mishnah. What are the three things that you should look at so you will not come to sit? Da, me'ayin basa, where you came from. Ula'ana taholech, v'lifnei mi'ata asi li'tein din v'cheshbar. Me'ayin basa. You should look at your ayin. Ve'ein ata bali de'aver. What is an ayin? So he said as follows. What is BT? It's a contraction of bat shali. What is bini? It's a contraction of ben shali. What is beiti? It's a contraction of bayit shali. What is ani? A contraction of an shali. Me'ayin. You have to know your ayin. Again, biti is bat shali. Beiti, my house. Sorry, Nancy. Biti is bat shali, my daughter. Bini, my son, is a contraction of my son. It doesn't sound as good in English. Beiti, my house, is a contraction of my house. In English, it really loses the, but Beiti is Bayit Shali, my house. So what does it mean, da me ayin, boss? You should know your ayin. You have, not with an ayin, no pun intended, with an aleph. Aleph, know your an. What's your an? An Shali. So what does a person have to know? Where your ani is. An Shali is my ani. So what do you have to look at first and foremost so you won't come to sin? May ayin bas. Know your ayin. May ayin bas. If you know where you came from, then you know your ani. Then you will know who you have to give an accounting, and then you know where you're going to end up. But a person has to be aware of their ani in life. When I'm sitting and eating supper, where is my mind really? I mean, we weren't on devices. It wasn't about that. But we're so bombarded constantly. We're so busy. We're always running. You have to make sure, im ani kan hakol kan. And you can only know if you're there if you know your an shali. If you know your ani is present, then you're really present. And it's relevant when we talk to our children, and it's relevant when we talk to students, and it's relevant probably for teachers, not probably, it has to be, even though I'm not a teacher in an elementary school classroom, and it's relevant for a therapist. You know, I imagine if the speech therapist is doing speech therapy, but her mind is on what she has to buy for supper, and where she has to go after, and the food that she has to pick up, and what she has to put up, and when her kid finishes gone, then it's going to be very hard if you're not present in the moment with that child. So ayin is on Shali, and that's a person's ani. So not only do other people have to be aware that we are present, but I have to be aware of where my ani is. And certainly, when it comes to devices, that is perhaps the biggest distraction to my ani and where I am than ever before in history. Okay? You can't hear me anymore? Malki Feldman, you can't hear me anymore? You can hear me? Oh, you can hear me. Okay, I'm going to just continue. Most people are saying they can hear me. Anansi, yes, we are learning Pirkei Avos every Shabbos afternoon after Mincha. So it's interesting because I was just going to quote the Mishnah in light of the Ani Kan HaKol Kan. If I'm here, then everything's here. And if I'm not here, then nothing is here. But I took a Rabbi Dr. Twersky, and he speaks on this Mishnah about addiction. And if you remember, that's where this whole piece began. We're talking about slavery, how a person would prefer to be enslaved, than to be a free man. And if there's any word you could use to describe our dependency oftentimes on technology, it is definitely borderline addiction, or for some people, full-blown addiction. And he mamish on this Mishnah, Rabbi Dr. Twersky, talks about addiction. I couldn't believe it. So what does he say? It follows, remember, this Mishnah gives you a methodology for preventing sin. Know where you came from, but we interpret it according to Rabbi Malitsky, know your ani. Where is your ani? If you don't know where your ani is, then you can't build relationships with anyone, you can't pray to God appropriately, you can't sit at the dinner table with your husband, you can't give therapy to the child, and you can't teach the Chumash Pasuk with Rashi, because your ani is not there. So first of all, know where your ani is. That's with the drash. Know where you're going. And know before who you have to give an accounting. Where did you come from? From a putrid drop. From a putrid drop. Where are you going? To a place of dust. And before who do you have to give an accounting? Before the King of all kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, because this is a Mishnah that's telling us how to stay away from sin, It follows the methodology for preventing sin may be very similar to the methodology for preventing addiction. I couldn't believe it that I saw he talks about addiction, because that's what we're talking about. What does that mean? An insight into the latter, preventing addiction, came to me when the slogan, remember the slogan, just say no? Yeah, so everyone is basically nodding yes. We remember, I don't know, it was back in the day, just say no to drugs was first popularized. Okay? Researchers who asked young people for their reaction to this slogan often encountered the following response. Why should we say no to drugs? Quote, what else is there? It became apparent to me, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, that the recourse to drugs is likely to occur when a person has no other aspirations. I was just in a doctor's office last week, a routine checkup, and there were two people behind us, and we're in the middle of going through this, this three, four week series on this topic. So one of the receptionists was tending to me. She took my insurance card, is your address the same, etc. And the person sitting next to her was another woman. So she was clearly not a patient because she was sitting there. They're both behind, you know, the plexiglass partition. She was playing Candy Crush. I'm talking about like an adult, middle-aged, maybe older woman. And it's just struck me because since, you know, we're going through these shiurim, it made a big impact on me. I thought, like, what did we used to do? Like, I don't know, did you read a book? Did you have something to file? I'm not really not judging her because I don't personally play games on my device, but we do end up wasting time. And I just thought to myself, here's an adult woman playing Candy Crush on her phone. And she's clearly working in the doctor's office because she's sitting behind the plexiglass with the other lady. And everyone here has to wear a mask and you're not allowed over there. So this is what it has come to. Why do people, said Rabbi Dr. Tversky, when they're asked, what do you think about just say no to drugs? They say, well, what else is there? And Rabbi Dr. Tversky says, perhaps people turn to drugs when they have no other aspirations in life. Perhaps, he says, sinful behavior is similarly a consequence of a lack of awareness that there's something else to life. So maybe that's what it's come down to. The new generation, certainly, the young ones, and even our own, is that perhaps we think there's nothing else from which we can benefit. There's nothing else which can give us pleasure anymore besides for constantly being in touch with, you know, someone else on our phones. Why should a person feel that life is so devoid of anything gratifying that one is willing to subject themselves to the real danger of toxic drugs? So just substitute phone addiction. Why should we believe that life is so devoid of other forms of gratification that we want to subject ourselves to these very real dangers? It may well be because a first person fails to see any goal in life other than having pleasure. And since pleasure is often so elusive, pleasure is fleeting, listen carefully. What does addiction do? It turns to chemicals that affect the brain in a way to produce a pleasurable yet fleeting sensation. So if you see you have a new message, it produces a fraction of a second of a fleeting, pleasurable sensation. Who needs me? Who's calling me? Maybe I won the lottery. Just joking. Did you ever think that when you open your phone? I don't know. Maybe Mashiach came. Okay. How many people liked my post? So if we don't believe that there's pleasure anywhere else in life, like in Torah, like in saying Tehillim, like in reading your child a story, like filing the files that maybe you're supposed to be doing instead of playing Candy Crush. I don't know what she was supposed to be doing, but I can't imagine it was playing Candy Crush. It may well be a person fails to see any goal in life. If they think they only live for pleasure, which is not what we live for. We don't only live here to be beings who are always consuming pleasure. And since pleasure is so often elusive, one may turn to chemicals that affect the brain in a way that produces a pleasurable sensation. Pleasure-seeking behavior, listen carefully, pleasures, there's noise from there. I can't tell them to mute. Pleasure-seeking behavior carries a high risk of frustration. Why? Why does pleasure-seeking behavior carry a high risk of frustration? Because you're going to have the pleasure, but what happens when the, exactly right. What happens when you eat the chocolate? It was very good. But now, it's not in your mouth anymore. So you had the pleasure only while it was in your mouth. And what happens now? You swallowed it. And now the box is sitting on your counter. And well, if I want to have more pleasure, the only way to attain more pleasure is to put another truffle in my mouth. And now it's gone. So what do I do now? then you have a stomach. So what do I do now? I'm going to take another one because there's no end to the dire pleasure. Remember the first class I told over, Rabbi Dr. Tversky tells over in The Rabbi and the Nuns? I told it over the first class about the man who was poor, so he prayed for wealth. So God sent him a little purse, so he pulled out a dollar. It was magic. And the dollar bills were real. And then after he pulled out that dollar, another dollar appeared, and he pulled out that dollar, and then another dollar, then another dollar. What happened? After 3 days, he was found dead atop a pile of dollar bills. That's exactly right. If we only live for pleasure, there's no end to pleasure. So we are constantly going to be seeking the tool to give us pleasure, even though it doesn't bring real gratification. This is Rabbi Dr. Tversky's comment on this Mishnah. Some people who are deprived of worldly pleasure simply despair of achieving pleasure. On the other hand, people who are affluent, people of means, they have means for many pleasure. They find that earthly pleasures are fleeting. So you could buy them. You have enough money to attain pleasure, but however long it takes to eat the steak, or I don't know, the foie gras or the lamb chop in the fancy restaurant, that's, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Enjoy it. I must tell you that there's no shiur this week. Next week. Come in. I forgot to text your mother, Rifki, and I mean to. And I told my kids that you joined shiur, and I have to text your mother. Oh. But now I see you and I remember. So you obtain pleasure only as long as you're engaged in the activity. So let's go back to the chocolate. Oh, there's no shiur next week. There's no shiur next week. I will be away from whatever shiur of mine you join during the week. From Monday, June 28th through Friday, July 2nd, I'm not teaching any classes. So Be'ezrat Hashem, after tonight, we resume in the 7th. I think it's the 7th, okay? July 7th. And we do teach, we meet here through the summer. So let's go back to the chocolate example. You're only going to have pleasure as long as you're eating the chocolate. So what do you do when you finish the chocolate? You're going to take another one, and then you're going to take another one, then you're going to take another one. It's the same thing on your phone. You have pleasure as long as, I don't know exactly what happens in Candy Crush, but as long as you're playing, no, I'm not making a joke, I'm actually being serious. As only long as you're actually playing the game, that's when you have pleasure. Or as long as you're reading how many people liked your post, or you're seeing how many people clicked on your meme. But as soon as you put your phone down, this is like scientific, you know, right? That the devices really cause addiction. Sarah Hertzberg, who's away for the summer, but she told me she will try and join on Zoom. The Shears Lilui Nashmas, her mother, listened to the recording. She won't be joining in person this summer. But she told me the last time after class that she's read articles that the blue light of the screen, you've read it also, is actually addictive. There's something about the blue light of the screen. So it gives you pleasure in the moment. So then you put it down, you say, I'm not going to check it. But then what happens? Your brain literally wants another dose of pleasure. So then what do? You pick up your phone. And then what do? You take another chocolate. The gustatory joy of a tasty meal is hardly a memory several hours later. So if you want that pleasure, you take more. And the constant pursuit of more pleasurable activities may result in disillusionment. I'm going to repeat that. The constant pursuit of more pleasurable activities may result in disillusionment. So you're going to end up being like the couple who's hugging, except that her hand is outstretched to her device and his hand is outstretched to her device, and they're not looking at each other. I've had drug addicts from both segments of the population, those who were discouraged of ever achieving pleasure in life, and those for whom all available pleasures were ultimately disappointing. And to fulfill what they perceived as a lack, or what they really felt was a lack, they turned to addiction. Sinful behavior is nothing other than yielding to temptation for pleasurable gratification. So he's saying that the Mishnah is advising us how to avoid sin. We should avoid turning to pleasure simply for gratification. As with addiction. Is everything okay? As with addiction, thank you. You're very brief. Very brief. As with addiction, such behavior can be avoided if you believe there's something else. Such behavior can be avoided if you believe there's something else. So if you believe that you will have gratification from spending a meaningful half an hour reading your child a book, if you believe you will have real gratification from eating at the island with your husband without thinking about what you're doing after this meal, whether you're on your device or not, by the way, if you believe that there's real gratification from saying a kapitel of Tehillim or learning a Dvar Torah about the 3 weeks or reading Chumash with Rashi, then you don't feel the need to fill yourself with fleeting pleasure that disappears the moment after it's been done. So you send a WhatsApp and now you're waiting for someone to reply. So you check, did they reply? They didn't reply. So 10 minutes later, you go to your phone, did they reply? 15 minutes later, you check your phone, did they reply? 20 minutes later, did they reply? You're constantly waiting for that pleasure that you will never find. And behaviors of these can be avoided if you believe there's something else. In other words, we must believe and live by the knowledge that there is more to life than pleasurable indulgences. The realization that one was created for a purpose. You're here for something. We're here for a purpose. Why are we here? Rabbanit Chana Henkin said, after the murder, the terror attack, in which her son and daughter-in-law were killed, Rabbi Eitam and Na'ama Henkin, she said, Ani ma'amina, Sar Bergman, who is good friends with Rabbanit Henkin, sent me this interview a few weeks after the pigua. And Rabbanit Henkin said, Ani ma'amina shehakadosh baruch hu sam otanu ba'olam lo aminat lekabel shovrim lashavet chinam bebet malon. He didn't put us here for a free pass to go to a spa in the hotel. It's nice to enjoy life, but we have to know why we're here. And if we believe we're here, we can reduce our behavior in pleasure-seeking activities that is so fleeting and is so dangerous. The realization that we are created for a purpose. The physical body is nothing but a handful of dust. La'an, where's your an? Where's my ani while I live? And where's my ani after I'm not here anymore? And one will be held accountable for what was achieved. If you really live with that belief, you understand that you're living for something else, not for the fleeting pleasures that give you nachas ruach in the moment, but they're not true contentment in life. And then, rather than being a pleasure-seeking animal, that's what he writes. That's what Rabbi Dr. Tversky writes. I don't think he means that as an intel. He means it as serious. Beasts live for pleasure. So the lion lives for the next kill. And in mating season, they live to mate. And that's what they live for. Rather than being a pleasure-seeking animal, the human being has a mission. And that's what Rabbi Henkin says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sam otanu ba'olam lo'am hanak l'kbal shovrim l'shav v'chinam b'beit malon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matil aleinu tafkidim va'ani mishtadalet k'meitav yecholti. We didn't come here for a free pass to sit for free in a hotel. The Almighty appoints us with missions, a tafkid. You're the mifakid of your life. You're the captain of your life. So you want to direct it, and you want to direct it well. Says Rabbi Dr. Tversky, the human being has a mission. And how much pleasure a person experiences in life is totally irrelevant to his true and ultimate goal. How many chocolates I eat is totally irrelevant to my ultimate goal. And how many times I check my phone is totally irrelevant to my ultimate goal. And whatever happens on Candy Crush, however many points you get, is certainly totally irrelevant to your ultimate goal. Akavya ben Mahalala states, to achieve this conviction, give close scrutiny to your life. Histakel b'shlosha dvarim doesn't just mean to look, says Rabbi Dr. Tversky. It means carefully observe and carefully consider. And tied in with Rabbi Suriel Malitsky's vart of an shali, where are you holding? What is my ani? It's very powerful. Histakel, look at your an, at my an. Where am I holding in life? This week's parasha, Hashem comes to Bilam, and he says, who are the people with you? And we have evidence of Hashem asking questions when, of course, he knows the answer. The first evidence of Hashem asking a question in the Torah when, of course, he knows the answer. Mi anashima eli yibach, Hashem says to Bilam, Perachav Beis, and this week's parasha, who are these people with you? Oh, wow, I'm so important. Balak ben Sipor shalach osam, Balak ben Sipor, the king of Moab, sent them to me. I might be nothing in your eyes, Bilam says to God, quoting Rashi, but I'm very important to Balak. The first time we have a question in the Torah that Hashem addresses a human being, even though he knows the answer, is the very famous paragim of Sefer Bereishis, Ayaka, you know. What's Ayako? Where are you? Hashem doesn't know where Adam is. There's not so many places he could be. He's in the Garden of Eden. God put him there. You couldn't exactly run away. So big deal. He's hiding in the trees. God's not going to find him. Where is your ani? Hashem was saying. Where are you? And both Adam and Bilam did not confess. Adam said, I don't know. It wasn't me. Ha! It wasn't me. It was her. It wasn't me. Ha'isha. He didn't say it was ani. It was her. I'm not present. It wasn't me. I was just seeking pleasure in life. And Bilam, he's also seeking pleasure. He's full of kina, taiva, and kavod. jealousy, honor, and lust for glory. He's seeking money. Neither of them say, Hashem, you know what, you're right. Maybe I should stop on the path upon which I am on. Oh. Histakel means more than just look and see. It means carefully observe and consider. Just a bit of serious reflection will enable us to realize the purpose of existence. We're nothing more than to experience pleasure. Is that why we're here? All need to experience pleasure? If so, the brilliant intellect with which the human being is endowed would be totally superfluous, and our minds would be like animals. If we were only here for pleasure, then we would be no more intelligent than the alligator and the wildebeest and the lion and the cheetah. We have an IQ, we have a mind, we have kohos, we have chachma, bina, and das. Just at the table the other night, it was Shabbos, I think, one of the kids, yeah, it was Shabbos, and one of the kids, my daughter, said, you know what Chabad stands for? So I said, yeah, chachma, bina, and das. So she said she didn't realize that it stands for chachma, bina, and das. Three levels of knowledge. Knowledge, intuition, and wisdom, if you will, if I have to translate them. So we're endowed with chachma, bina, and das. Oh, Sarah Bergman is here. Sarah Bergman, I just quoted you. For giving me the interview with Tzadekas. Thank you so much for giving me the shir with Rabbi Neith Hinken. It's been a very long time since I had a cup of water. Atshari shir. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiya B'dvaro. Thank you. So my Dr. Twersky says, thank you, that if we live a life of seeking pleasure, it leads to addiction, because you will never be able to fulfill the need to achieve pleasure, because it's fleeting, going back to the example of the chocolate, and it lasts only as long as it takes you to eat the chocolate, it lasts only as long as it takes you to read the text, it lasts only as long as it takes you to finish a level in Candy Crush, and then what happens when you're done? You want more, because your purpose of life is seeking pleasure. So now I want another truffle, and now I want another text, and it's literally what happens to our brain. We've made ourselves insane. It's very frightening, but we can stop it, because Elo's coming, and we can take charge, and we can say, Imani kan hakol kan. I'm here. We can be present. Histakel b'shlosh advarim ve'ein ata bali de'avera does not just mean look, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky. It means carefully observe and consider. And when Hashem comes and asks us questions, that's what he's asking us. Ayako, he was saying to Adam. He asked him two questions. First was, Ayako, where are you? And then, Hamina Eitz Asher Tzivisich Kal Chami Menachota. The first question was, where are you? And the second question was, did you eat from the forbidden fruit? So this is particularly relevant as we move into Bein HaMitzarim, the period of the 3 weeks. And I have said this before, so it's possible you heard me say it before, or maybe you learned it somewhere else. So the letters of Ayako in the Chumash, in Perek Gimel Bereishis, are Aleph Yod Chaf Hey. So you know there's no vowelization, there's no nekudos in the Chumash. So what does Aleph Yod Chaf Hey spell? Echa. So that means there's a connection between Ayako, God's question to Adam of where are you, and Echa, as in the lamentation for the Churban, the destruction of Yerushalayim and Sion. Shabbos Soloveitchik says, what's the pshat? If a person never asks himself Ayaka, he will be forced to say Eicha. If a person never says in life, Ayaka, where am I? Where's my ani? What's my anshali? When I'm sitting here eating dinner, you know, it's funny because someone came over to me last week. Because sometimes I said that, you know, if you use a device for shirim, so then obviously it's, you know, I don't mean that, to FaceTime with overseas families, to deposit your check at the bank, to check the weather, if you're getting dressed for the day, you need to know, okay, fine. So I remember in the olden days, when we were kids, there was a weather number in Toronto. You didn't have these. So did they have it in New York? My mother would call every morning, and they would tell you the weather for the day on the weather line. It sounds like from the days of the dinosaurs when I lived there, when the dinosaurs roamed Earth. What did he say?
You also call and check the time. There's information. You can call information at the time.
Oh, so there was a weather line in Toronto. I don't know what else, but she would call every morning to get the weather. Okay, so I understand if you needed the weather. But someone did come over to me last week or the week before, and she said that sometimes that she uses her device for Shiram Baruch Hashem, but like she feels it's like 10 excess. So if she's sitting at the table with a family member preparing the meal for the family member, she'll be listening to a shir, but they're in the kitchen together and they'll sit down together. So I said, so maybe that's not, you know, the right time to be like actually listening to the shir. We really have to balance. So you see that any excess can lead to dependency / for some people, real addiction. And when the brain is constantly, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, seeking pleasure, and pleasure is fleeting, and you think you only live for pleasure, and you can never get out of the cycle. You have to recognize you live for more than eating donuts, because it tastes good when it's in your mouth. You know, the Hanukkah parties, the person who says, I could eat four of these, that really happens by my Hanukkah parties. There is someone who says that. Okay, so it tastes good while you're eating four, and then after, there's no more pleasure in your mouth. They're so...
Opposite.
Yeah, that's for sure too. So that's what happens with addiction. It tastes good and you think it's good, but ultimately you end up destroying your life. Rahman al-Atsan can apply the same thing to technology. You can. I'm not saying anyone here is doing that. But it is not like such a pella to say that it doesn't happen. It's good in the moment, and too much ultimately ruins relationships, ruins my ani, and ruins myself. So histakel doesn't just mean look and see. Yes, he did write a book about, it's called The Shame Born in Silence, about domestic violence in the Jewish community. One of his 90 books. So histakel means not just look and see, carefully observe and consider. Just a little bit of serious reflection will enable one to realize that if we were only here for pleasure, we would not be endowed with brilliant intellect. Animals, I was learning with somebody today, one-to-one. So she stopped and she said to me, Hashem gave you a very good mind. I said, thank you. We all need to remember where everything we have comes from. I said, I really appreciate that. Not that I, Chas V'Sham, have. Hashem gave you. I said, you're right. You have to ignore everything I have, every single thing I have. So why did Hashem put me here? Only to seek pleasure? That's the purpose of why he created us, as these masterful human beings, to eat more chocolate, to check another text, and not even pay attention to my children? Chas V'Sham. If we condition our minds to believing we're only here for pleasure, if you forget this Mishnah, if you don't know where your An is, then like Hillel says, Imani kan, hakol kan. If I'm here, it's all here. V'im ein ani kan, mi kan. If I'm not here, who's here? Meaning, who's here? If I'm not here, so who is here? I.e., no one's here, because I'm not here. Think about this. Next time you sit down with someone, you're having a conversation, where's your mind? Think about it. Is it on the device? If it's in your pocket, it's buzzing. So you didn't check it, but now it buzzed. Animals are far more likely to achieve contentment than human beings, who are so prone. Someone said if she has to ruin her life, she doesn't mind doing it with chocolate. I also enjoy a good chocolate truffle, I promise. I have a box from the chocolate store on Central Avenue. I have one at a time. Not every few days. I don't mean, please, Chas V'Sham, I don't mean we should go live in a cave. Like nuns and priests, I don't live in a cave, but remove ourselves from all sorts of physical pleasure in life. That's not the Torah way. That's not what Hashem wants from us. Ein simcha al b'basar v'yayin. We enjoy meat and wine at a simcha. Some people in the 90s, be careful. Really make a siyum. It's halachically complicated, but whatever. And if it's a real simcha, so there is wine and there is meat and your Yom Tov table should be beautiful and we should put out tasty delicacies. And if you find something nice in the shuk, Zachar Sema Shabbos Lekadsho, you should say, I'm setting this aside for Shabbos Kodesh. I don't mean we should never enjoy anything in life. But if the purpose of your life is to be a pleasure-seeking beast, then you're nothing more than the beast. That's not the purpose of life. The pleasure is meant to bring me closer to Hashem. So if I use yayin for the arba kosos, it elevates me because I've done a mitzvah. And if I serve a good piece of bus or vidagim, not together, then I'm elevating my Shabbos table. It's meant to bring you closer to God. But if the end goal is the pleasure, then I have it wrong. If the pleasure is a means to an end, i.e. the end is fulfilling mitzvahs, the end is avodas Hashem, then it's beautiful. That's what Hashem wants. If I eat to be healthy so I could serve God, then the apple is amazing. If I eat 20 apples in a row, so there's something wrong with me and I'm addicted. So it doesn't mean, no one should leave. I don't mean that. I don't live like that. Chas v'shalom. You know me long enough. That's not what I mean. Is the pleasure the end goal, or is it the means to an end? So if your device is a means to an end and your grandchildren or the grandfather lives overseas and you can't be together and use FaceTime to connect, so it's a means to an end. The end is cementing the relationship. The means is using your device. If you listen to a shir once a day on your fast walk by yourself and there's no one else with you, you're not taking your mind off anyone else, it's a means to an end. It's a means to learning Torah, coming close to the Shem, whether it's a halacha shir, a shkafa shir, a shabbat shir, whatever. If you're preparing the meal and sitting down to the brunch with your husband listening to a shir, so that might be misplaced. Is it a means to an end, or is it an end? And so we have the formula for avoiding sins, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky. Histakel. Observe closely and intensely. Every so often stop and ask yourself, Ayaka, where's my ani? What's my anshali? I know where my bayit is, batshali. I know where my daughter is, hopefully, batshali. I said it wrong. I know where my house is, bias shali. I know where my daughter is, bat shali. I know where my son is, ben shali. Where's my own ani? So when Hashem comes and he says, Ayaka sotako, where's your ani? So if you never stop to answer the question, says the Rav, you're going to be forced to say Eicha. How did this happen? It happened because we never stopped to pay attention to where we're holding in life, or what we're holding in life. Doesn't mean to banish it. I said this the first class. I'm not throwing my iPhone in the garbage. It serves a purpose. I need it. I am dependent on it for many things. But is it an end, or is it a means to an end? The dessert on my table, is it? We should have mamtakim on Yom Tov. It's beautiful Shabbos. Is it the end goal to eat as much chocolate as I can, or it's a means to an end? Consider three factors which indicate a higher purpose in life. May ayin basa, from where you came from. Remember what you are. And also may ayin basa, what's your anshali? La'ana taholeich, where are you really going? And ultimately, before who, you have to give an accounting. You will then realize there is something else. Something which befits the dignity of intelligent man. Who? Listen to this last line. There's something else than just WhatsApp, than just Facebook, than Twitter, Instagram, whatever is used now. There is something else. There's something more than Candy Crush. It's something which befits the dignity of intelligent man and which elevates us above the level of all other creatures. So Mamish, when I took out this Mishnah, because I just wanted to tie it into the Gemara, Masecha Sukkah, and Hillel Zaka, and I didn't even know Rabbi Dr. Twersky was going to talk about. Hashem scripted the shir. It's unbelievably relevant, exactly. And that's what we have to consider. When I pick up my device, is it a means to an end, or is it an end? Is it a purposeful use, or is it simply pleasure-seeking? Yeah, you're waiting to say something. 1 second. I need to pour this, and then I could look at you. 1 second, and please speak loud so I could hear.
I hope. It's very fascinating that the Da and the Hissakel and all that new age self-awareness, mindfulness, it sort of echoes, like, you know, all the ancient wisdom from her Yavos, and it's such a contemporary trend to be mindful and
be mindful.
And it's fascinating how it is such a trend.
And you see that all the sources are in the Torah.
Just also, but you know, also with the strong pull of all our addictions and all our external influences, we have all that mindfulness in society as well, trying to counter that.
So first of all, the New Age mindfulness, number one, is all based in Torah.
Yeah.
And second of all, you see it's something that society at large is struggling with.
Yeah.
Because they're also trying to address it. They're also saying, where's your anon in so many words?
Yeah.
If I'm not here, then there's nothing here. Anything else? Okay, there is no shir next week. But Ezra Hashem, we resume on, we shall all be well, July the 7th. Thank you everyone for silencing yourselves, muting, and or being quiet. May the shir be an aliyah neshama for Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHasham. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Kol Tov. Thank you.